Good evening. Happy Memorial Day weekend. I'm all full of barbecue, and I'm not sure if my uncle cooked the chicken all the way through, so if I throw up while I'm up here, it's because I'm nervous. Tonight, I seek to bring clarity to an issue that's caused tension and division in the church. Faith and action are not two opposing forces that battle for importance. Too often, people shy away from one in favor of the other because they fear that they contradict each other. In fact, they complement one another. We cannot dismiss a section of the Bible because we question it or fear it. We have to approach the Bible as a complete whole. To say that our actions do not affect our lives because Christ died for us is a grave mistake. Christ gave us multiple examples of why our actions matter in our lives and how it's our responsibility to properly respond to what he's called us to do. Some of the actions that affect our lives, for instance, 1 John 1, 6-10, tells us if we confess our sins, God will forgive our sins. Luke 17, 3-4 reads, if I can pull it up real quick. Oh, it's over here. Luke 17, 3-4. I'll try and slow down. If I can turn the page. Come on, go. Okay. Luke 17, 3-4. Take heed to yourselves, for if your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. We are obligated to forgive someone who is trying to repent. Both of these actions, examples, require action on our part for God to be obliged to follow through on his promise to us. Doing so brings us closer to God and strengthens our walk with Christ. In a moment, I'll follow up Luke 17 with Luke 6, and that'll support that statement a bit more. as a word of caution, it's not enough to be obedient in action alone, but also in heart. Matthew 6, 1-4 advises us to have discretion when we do charitable deeds. I'm not going to read it, but if you want to turn there to make sure I'm not lying to you or in case I miss the point of the scripture, you ought to. That's Matthew 6, 1-4. Our deeds cannot be done for honor among men. It must be done in secret. It must be done having the right mindset. If it's all just a show, your rewards here on earth. What's more, even if we follow his commands, are we doing it in the right way? It's not enough to just do it. Your heart has to be in the right place as well. Even good deeds can be done wrong. Going on to Luke 6, 37-38. No, it's right there. Good. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured onto your bosom. For what the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. What does that tell you? It tells me we are accountable for how we deal with others. Hopefully you came to the same idea. As much love as we give, we shall receive. We are accountable for our actions. Matthew 6, 14-15 suggests the same thing. If we expect to be forgiven, we have to forgive. Luke 6, 43-45 reads, 43, there we go. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man brings out of the evil treasure of his heart, out of the evil of his evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. This passage verifies that our fruits, what we produce, is how God will identify us. Every tree is known by its own fruit. You all know Luke 6:46-49 as the man who built his house on the rock. It's also found in Matthew 7:24-27. And I'm going to read that one in about 4 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 2, 2, there we go, okay. 7:24-27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. If we don't respond to his sayings, his teachings, we're fools. Hearing and doing. Christ demands action. Without it, we will fall. We have an expectation of Christ-likeness. 1 John 2:3-6, got that one marked, reads, "Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly, the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." We know Christ when we keep his commandments. Obedience is love. Does that sound familiar to Luke 6:40? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. We are not above Christ. We will always need him. But if we train ourselves, we can be like him. It takes practice. It takes work. Hard work. Our aim, then, is to be prepared to receive Christ's judgment for our actions. 2 Corinthians 5:9-10 reads, "Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." We as believers, those who have heard his word, will be called to stand before Christ for our good and bad actions. We have to be prepared for that. Those of you who rely on faith, don't worry, I haven't forgotten you. Why are our actions important? We are not saved by our actions, but by the grace of Christ. Ephesians 2:8-9, thank you, Dave. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." So why does it matter what we do? For one, obedience to God is love for God. We obey to be closer to God in mind and spirit. We all know how habit works. I can attest that in my study with Dave, which has led me to finally crack open the Bible for myself and take some responsibility for my own life, good habits form, and they become easier as you go. It's simple math, as much as I hate math. If you sleep 12 hours a day like I do, it gives you half a day to cause trouble. But if you fill your day with an hour of reading here, a sum total of prayer throughout the day there, another hour evangelizing, or whatever your spiritual gift might be, in between that time, it fills up your time pretty quick. That leaves you with less time to fall into misconduct throughout the day. All this has brought me to an important decision. I choose to be an active recipient, of my undeserved salvation. I cannot buy my freedom. My habitual sin makes sure of that. But in the rest of my life, I can step closer and closer to God by living as Christ commanded. Not a perfect life, but one that parallels that of my teacher. Until hopefully one day, I can push sin out of my schedule. Not one of us has time for it. The Bible does not call for passion. The Bible does not call for passive empathy from the reader. If you open the Bible and read Christ's final command to make disciples of all nations and think, oh great, okay, baptize them in the names of the Trinity, couldn't be put more simply, and, hold on, teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. Think back to Matthew 7:24. Whoever hears these things of mine and does them. Well, how can we teach them to observe what he's commanded if we don't know it or do it ourselves? Because if we don't do it, we don't truly know it. Just like a child when scolded, what are you thinking? Might respond with, I know, but they don't. You've told them 7 times, but they don't listen. They don't take it to heart. Just as God, who has clearly stated for us, we might say, I know, it's right there, I've seen it. But he's told us 490 times. Yet we still don't get it. I still don't. The point is, if we can't follow Christ's example, do we believe? Do we truly believe? Now, we all stumble and fall, but at some point, God knows when we're trying, and he clearly knows when I've stopped trying. Thankfully for us, it's not by works that we're saved. We are justified only by Christ's blood. Romans 4:1-4. Oh good, it's right there. Oh no. There's tape on this. Got my Bible. Okay. What then shall we say? That Abraham, our father, has found according... What then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. Where am I? If we trust in his sacrifice, should our response not be to wholeheartedly seek to live our lives as Christ-like as possible, as we're told to? Abraham was justified through faith, and he followed through with his faith by obeying God's command to sacrifice his own only son. Had he not, what would his faith have been worth? He had the faith, sure, but loving God is obeying him. He was still expected to follow through. Abraham had the faith, and he had the love. Faith and works. One follows the other, and they work hand in hand. And we know Christ is willing to forgive a man 490 times. But just the same, he expects us to forgive that guy. And you know who I'm talking about. That guy. 490 times. Our measure against him is Christ's measure against us. Romans 8:12-14. I hope you're following me because I'm probably lying to you. That's not true. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Thanks for that. Sons of God are both led by the Spirit and walk by the Spirit. When we relinquish our desires of the flesh, we give ourselves over to the Spirit, and He will bring us to God by the power of the Son's blood. Oh, come on. So let the Spirit lead you. Don't fight it. Do as Christ commanded and live for Him as He died for you. Dead to the world, dead in the flesh, but alive in spirit. And one last verse. Romans 8, 1 through 4. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We live by the Spirit by denying the flesh. That is why we strive to live lives as close to Christ as we can. If any of you have a need or request, come forward while we stand and sing.